Have you ever heard someone ask, "What is your worldview?" or "What is your philosophy for life?" Well, we could study a number of different philosophies of man. Some of them are very hard to understand, and even those that hold these philosophies have disagreements and have a difficult time explaining their own philosophy they've chosen. Well, there's another option here, and that would be for one to choose their own philosophy. They could say, "Well, I'm just going to do what I want to do and what all's best for me." And a number of people, unfortunately, do that. So then, how is one to decide which is the most suitable philosophy for his life? Well, all of us should know the answer, and that would be to turn to God and accept His will and allow Him to direct our steps. As Jeremiah realized, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah 10:23. Solomon in Proverbs 20:24, by inspiration as well, "Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" Well, he cannot. That's obviously the situation. So when we choose a philosophy other than accepting God's will, of course, we're rejecting God's philosophy. We're rejecting His word. And that's going to lead where? If we stay in that situation, it's going to lead to eternal damnation in the fires of hell. So it's something we need to be sure about, that we are following God's philosophy and not man's. And we'll want to ask the question, which philosophy is best, as we've already answered it, and pursue this further in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, standing for the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together to study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, but as we then assemble together to worship God. We're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, and that would be with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern that God has given us in His Holy Word in the New Testament. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience to sit down together and open up God's Word, we would be glad to set that up. Something else, if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, please send those to us. Again, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. You'll find our radio sermons going back several years are there to be brought up and listened to at your convenience. And, of course, our bulletins are there as well, other information. Now, what I want to do now is advertise for our upcoming gospel meeting. Now, this is set for September 6th going through the 8th. our speaker, Brother Tom House, who is from Fulton, Mississippi, and he is an outstanding gospel preacher, and we look forward to having Brother Tom House come and shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. So this would be Friday, the 6th of September at 7 p.m., Saturday night as well as the 7th of September at 7 p.m., and Sunday the 8th, our regular Bible class hour, 9:30, worship service hour, 10:30, a potluck lunch, which you will thoroughly enjoy after the worship service, and then we'll gather together at 1 p.m. for the final sermon of the gospel meeting. So we look forward to having you join in with us and hear Brother Tom. I'm sure you'll appreciate his ability to preach the Word of God. Now let's get to our study this morning, which philosophy is best? And we've already answered it. Of course, the Word of God reveals His will, and we need to accept the will of God as He is our Creator. We are made in His image, but He allows us free will. So we can choose whatever philosophy we want to have for this life. But we need to ask this question: what does man's, or we could term it humanistic philosophy, have to offer? Well, let's look at this. First, one must realize to accept one's own or another man's philosophy for his life is to reject the will of God. That's right. That's what we would be doing, as Satan told Eve. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3:5. This is humanistic philosophy, started right there in the Garden of Eden, thinking that one does not need God because he has become his own God. Of course, this is humanistic philosophy, and this is how it got started. You see, God had given one negative command, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of all the other trees. Why not be satisfied with one limitation? Well, you see what happened when Eve gave in to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, Adam, he went in with his eyes wide open and disobeyed God, and they were cast out of paradise. Suffering evil entered the world, and you see the results of humanistic philosophy at its very beginning. Of course, Satan used deception. And how many today think that they are their own God because they're so smart? They don't need to believe in the true God and follow His will. Notice Psalm 14:1. The fool hath said in his own heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Well, again, we're looking at what does humanistic philosophy have to offer? Man's philosophy, in other words. Let's look at another answer to this question. Second, with man's philosophy, there cannot be a philosophy that is best for all people. But that's certainly true with God's philosophy, isn't it? Of course it's best for all people, for God created us in His own image. But when you choose man's philosophy, like Hitler, choosing the philosophy of survival of the fittest, well, it certainly wasn't suitable for those who were tortured and murdered, was it? No, it wasn't. Many have the philosophy. You see this everywhere today If it brings pleasure, it's all right. We can live together in fornication. We don't need to be married. Couples are doing this all the time now. We can have our pleasure. There's no problems with that. Oh, wait a minute. There are some things that you might want to see in this philosophy that you have chosen. Well, you don't have security, ladies, if you are living with someone outside of marriage. You don't have security. What happens when children come and you find out you're not suitable anymore? And on we could go. Homosexuals and transgenders, they try to justify their philosophy, do they not? But what is the result of their actions? Mutilation, molestation, venereal disease, AIDS has declined somewhat, I guess, now, but it has certainly wreaked havoc in the past because of this philosophy. Mutilation. Young people are told they can change their gender and are being pushed to have surgery. That's right, to mutilate their own body. They've chosen this because others think this is the way to go. Their philosophy, you see, is all about what we think you should be doing, not about the will of God. They've left God completely out. This is what's going on today with our young people being taught this even in schools. Homosexuality now is an acceptable way of life. But people are dying in their sins without knowing the truth as we sit back with our mouths shut, those of us in the Church of Christ, knowing the truth and not willing to speak out for fear of retaliation. You see, we're looking at what humanistic philosophy has to offer, and it sure doesn't paint a very nice picture, does it? And many have the philosophy, the more material possessions I have, the happier I will be. Well, the rich farmer, he thought this as he tore down his barn, built bigger. Boy, he's really going to town. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Luke 12:19-20. So, we've seen what man's humanistic philosophy has to offer. Garbage. You see, sin can be wrapped up in a pretty package as Satan wants it to appear attractive, but it's still garbage when you open it up, and it will cause a person to lose their soul for eternity if they're not willing to get out of it, to leave that humanistic philosophy behind and accept the will of God and submit to the gospel of Christ. That's right. Now let's ask this question. What does absolute truth mean? Well, we could ask this as well. Who determines what is right and wrong? Man cannot agree. That's why there's all these different philosophies, these isms we talked about. Hitler, he did not believe that he was wrong when he had millions of innocent people tortured and killed. You see, he thought he was right. He was doing what was right in his mind. But of course he wasn't. he was violating the will of God. You see, truth is not relative. It's not subjective. If it was, then you couldn't say Hitler was wrong because he thought he was right. You see, that's not true, is it? There's a higher authority in the Nuremberg trials. Remember that? To have absolute truth, all men need to have the same standard to determine right and wrong. And we have it. Of course we do. Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In other words, Jesus has all authority. He is our authority. Colossians 3:17 as well, Matthew 28:18 I just quoted. Let's go to Colossians 3:17. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Do all in the authority of the Lord Jesus, in other words, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So if we deny God, we are denying truth. What does absolute truth mean? Well, it means the Word of God is our standard to follow. Jesus said to those disciples that believed on Him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Did we get that? Jesus prayed before the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17. And notice verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is truth. This is absolute and it's objective truth. And when man seeks his own way in life, he is really saying with his actions, "I do not need God." And that is becoming a fool. Genesis 3:5-6. Satan wanted Eve to accept humanistic philosophy. And she did. And Adam disobeyed God as well. Now, God, who knows everything about us as our Creator, certainly knows what is best for us. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Hebrews 4:13. We better understand that. All of us. Without knowledge and obedience to God's Word, without obedience to the gospel of Christ, we cannot know the truth. And nor can we be saved from our sins. That's the seriousness of what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Not disobedience, but obedience. Humble ourselves and accept the will of God. Notice with me Romans 6:17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." There has to be a standard that we all follow, which of course is God's will. That's what does absolute truth mean? It means accepting the truth from God, not from man. No, not allowing man to give the definition, because he disagrees. You see, we need to stay with the Word of God and submit to it. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that, yes, that's right, obey him. Hebrews 5:8-9. Have we obeyed him? It's not too late. Well, one other question I want us to deal with, and that's this. What does the Bible say about Solomon's conclusion? You know, he tried to find happiness with pleasure. Ecclesiastes 2:1, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Chapter 2:3, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. You see, he tried these different philosophies, and they all failed. Why? Because they were not God's philosophy. Solomon tried to find happiness with riches and power. He no doubt was a billionaire in those days. If you compared it to today, the possessions that he had, look at Solomon's possessions in Ecclesiastes 2:4-11. We don't have time to read that, but notice verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I mean, he had built up quite a vast fortune in those days. And notice, excuse me, still in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon tried to find happiness with worldly wisdom. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? We need to hear the conclusion that Solomon came to in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. We need to have this same conclusion and not go through what all Solomon did. We don't have to waste many years experimenting. No, let's notice the conclusion. Fear God. Respect God, in other words, and keep his commandments, submit to his will. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's right. Solomon learned the hard way, and there's no need to follow his path in those wasted years, but rather trust the answer found in the Word of God. As we just read, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. So man's philosophy, humanism, is not the answer, but rather is deceiving, and it's taking people away from the truth. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's what we're seeing all around us. We're concerned of the division in our country and the immorality and things we never thought would be acceptable, but they are with so many people, but it's sinful activity. Now, I want to mention this. Homosexuality, transgenderism, all these perversions, yes, they're sinful, and people need to get out of them to have salvation. But we care about their soul. We're not against their soul. We're against the sin. I want to emphasize that. We love their soul, and we want them all to seek the truth, the Word of God, and become obedient to the gospel of Christ and be forgiven of their sins. And that's love, genuine love. And we need to understand this. Will we accept the truth, God's philosophy? Or are we going to stay with the philosophies of man? And we've seen what they have to offer. It shouldn't be difficult to accept life and blessings rather than death and cursings. If you had that choice before you, of course, wouldn't you choose life and blessings instead of death and cursings? As God's people had that choice, God said, choose this day. Well, what are we going to choose? Satan wants that sinful activity, you know, attractive. So you don't see that it's death and cursings. No. But we need to see the beauty of God's sacrificing His only begotten Son for our sins, not His. Look at that. Suffering. Look at the suffering Savior on the cruel cross of Calvary, and understand the love of God. Not following after deception of Satan and his lies. Hear the call of the gospel. Submit to his will. Truth is absolute and objective. It's not relative and subjective. And if we will humbly submit to the will of God, we'll have peace of mind that passeth all understanding after our sins are washed away in the grave, that we're going underwater, contacting the blood of Christ. We're walking in newness of life when we come out of that watery grave. First, we have to, of course, hear the truth. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of our sins, making a change of wills and doing the will of God. No longer our own will, some other philosophy. No, we're going to give up that. Make the good confession stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And as we come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, having been baptized into the death of Christ, we're going to be forgiven because we've contacted His precious blood as we're buried into His death. That's why we're under the water, to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, the forgiveness, and then we need to live faithfully, even meaning death. We'll have the victory. And we thank you so much for listening today.